Joey, nice to have you back with us today. Thank you for drumming for us. Appreciate it. This week, I spent the week in a pastor's business meeting conference in Casper, Wyoming. It was a meeting that is required for pastors by the Christian Missionary Alliance. And I got to say, when I drove into Casper, Wyoming, it was 65 degrees, and there was no snow on the ground. And wow, it gave me hope that spring can really be a reality. But then we drove home with snow falling through the passes between Billings all the way to Butte. We finally reached Whitefish. It was 35 degrees and the wind was blowing. Is anyone else getting exhausted waiting for spring to show up around here? It's been a long journey, hasn't it? Well, the trip to Casper from Whitefish and back is about a 22-hour drive. I made the trip with three pastors from my pastoral growth group. We meet every month for a time of prayer and Bible study and worship and spiritual mentoring together. And as you can imagine, anytime you have four pastors in a vehicle for a total of 22 hours, we covered a wide variety, a wide range of subjects in our conversation. Everything from ministry problems that they face in the ministry, to theology discussions on how God works and why He does the things that He does. To sharing personal challenges that we've experienced throughout the years in the ministry. And one of the subjects that we talked about that was kind of an overwhelming feeling that all four of us have in the ministry is being imperfect people called to represent a holy and perfect God to an imperfect world while possessing our own sin nature and character flaws. It's a challenging experience to be a minister of the gospel of grace to others, knowing that we're so riddled with our own flaws. And it was kind of a common theme expressed in the drive. During one conversation, someone mentioned it would sure be nice to be able to be perfect in the ministry, to have perfect insight, to make perfect decisions, and to do the perfect thing every time. But then it was pointed out that approach to ministry has already been tried. Jesus was the perfect minister with perfect insight, imperfect decisions, perfect in everything He did, but it didn't seem to make ministry any easier for Him either. So I think probably that's just kind of the whole deal with the ministry is that as all of us circulate among people within the community and as we work with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, we often experience that idea that neither we nor others are completely perfect. And how valuable the love and the grace and the mercy of God is in those situations to keep the harmony and the unity and the strength of the body of Jesus Christ moving forward. So as our discussion deepened, it reminded me, imperfect ministers ministering to an imperfect people in an imperfect world will result in spiritual speed bumps, spiritual wrecks along the way when it comes to ministry. Later in the week, as I thought about some of these conversations we had in the vehicle, I thought about spiritual strategies that would help me to be an effective, positive, uplifting person in the ministry. And as I was thinking about some of those things between sessions, I had a conversation with a pastor at the conference about the significance of prayer. This pastor I spoke with was facing a great personal challenge in his ministry. It was a great personal challenge to him personally in his life. He was leaving one church ministry that was a rough go, and he was having to move his family to another community to start over with another struggling church that had a set of its own issues that it was dealing with. And as we talked through some of these issues, During the conversation, we talked about the significant role prayer plays in the transition he and his family were in, and how prayer is such a powerful help for the Christian in the Christian walk in general. Prayer, we discussed, is not only a means by which we seek God's will for the church, but prayer is also an important part of our own spiritual lives, a place where we seek God's wisdom and strength for our own personal walk with God. See, sometimes we can make prayer about what is happening with everybody else. And when we do that, that sometimes we can avoid the personal things that we need to be discussing with God about us and who we are and what's happening in our life and the things that we need to be doing to stay strong in Christ and to walk well with Jesus. Prayer, we concluded, is an essential part of helping us stay centered and balanced in our walk with God. It's not just something we do for other people. Prayer is a spiritual centering activity that deepens our relationship with God. It keeps us aware of God's daily presence in our lives and keeps us focused on the sufficiency of God to meet our needs. While God, by the way, is using imperfect people to minister to an imperfect world, to an imperfect people. During this discussion, we compared how we interact with our close friends. And think about how you interact with your close friends. With close friends, we interact with them on a regular basis, don't we? We share important personal stuff with close friends. We seek their counsel and advice when we're dealing with issues in our life because we know they care. We exchange ideas on a myriad of different subjects. And many times we are also inconvenienced for the sake of our relationship with a close friend. With the people closest to us, we share our deepest thoughts, we share our fears, we share our anxieties, our hurts, and our pains, and we protect the name of our friend, and so on. So then we discussed in our prayer life, do we embrace God as a close, trusted friend in how we walk with Him each day? In other words, all those things that we would do with those friends that we have that are close to us in our physical journey on earth, do we journey with God in that same way as a close and personal friend? Or do we treat God more as our servant, our personal magic genie in the bottle, where we rub the magic prayer lamp, but poof, God comes out. We make our request and we expect the magic genie God to deliver our desired outcome to us. And if He doesn't deliver for us, then God has failed us, or He simply didn't listen to us or pay attention to what we were saying. If He does answer our prayer, then we kind of take God and we put Him back into the bottle and until we need Him again. So how is it that we approach God as the magic prayer genie in the bottle, or do we approach God as a close personal friend where we're sharing our intimacy with Him? So as a result of the conversation we were having, we took a moment to just kind of debrief and make things a little more personal. And each one of us shared a time in our lives when we saw God answer a prayer where the answer to that prayer absolutely knocked our socks off spiritually. Where God did something in response to a request that we made that even in the way that we had it worked out in our mind and the way that we thought God ought to work in that situation, that God did far above and beyond, like Jeremiah 33 said in our reading, call unto me and I will answer thee and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou dost not know. We also then took some time to share a time in our ministry when prayer didn't really change our situation and it really didn't change God's plan for
how we thought he ought to work it out. But what prayer did was that it changed our heart from doing what we wanted to do to doing what God wanted us to do. And you know, that's how a dialogue works in a relationship, is that the advice that we get from a close friend helps us to sort some things out, maybe helps us to prioritize things a little better, perhaps to see things differently than how we were seeing them, and helps us to make better judgments in the things that we're doing. We discussed how many times in our lives we started the conversation with God in our prayer as a monologue of our desires and what we wanted, telling God how we felt, advising him on what he ought to do, and demanding he just take care of it, only to find that the longer we lingered at the throne of grace with God in prayer, that God would turn the monologue into a dialogue. And God would reassure us of his love and his guidance and strength and wisdom and his commitment to see us through the situation if we would only follow him. Our conclusion was effective prayer is not a monologue of demands, but a conversation with God, a dialogue. Prayer may start with me offering my list of demands, but if I linger in the conversation with God and surrender myself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, God will often use prayer to change me. And isn't that really what we desire in our lives, is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to become more and more like his Son in our character, in our attitude, and how we act? So then prayer's a pretty good thing for helping me to achieve that goal of being conformed to the image of Christ, because not only am I expressing my heart to God, but God is expressing his heart to me. I have often heard prayer referred to as a spiritual discipline all Christians ought to engage in. And I kind of bristle against that spiritual discipline kind of thing, even though I know what they mean in saying that. Because I like to think of prayer not so much as a spiritual discipline, but as an important part of my personal relationship and friendship with God. A friend where I can go to with safety and sharing my heart with him and my struggles with him and my sins with him and my pains with him. Prayer is a place where I give to God an open door to speak into my life through his love and his mercy and grace, to give me his wisdom on a matter. Prayer is a place where I know sovereign God, my friend, can handle me on my toughest and worst days, when I'm having that bad hair day and nothing makes sense and I'm angry with the world and I'm not treating others very well either. I absolutely love these words that Jesus spoke to his disciples in John 15:15. Just sit back and let them kind of bathe your spirit. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Can you imagine that scenario where Jesus is standing before his disciples, them knowing that he is God Almighty, having confessed that Jesus is Lord, that he is equal with the Father, and that God Jesus speaks to them and says, I call you my friend. I call you my friend. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God is our friend? As I continued thinking about prayer, I considered how many times in my life where my prayers didn't change the plan of God or move the plan of God, but rather, again, the prayer changed me to align myself with his will. Prayer, a dialogue with God, is often the catalyst that moves me to align my life and my decision-making with the will of God. Therefore, in honor of this long introduction and in honor of the Casper, Wyoming experience, I'd like to focus on just a couple verses this morning on the front of your bulletin there, Colossians 4, 2 through 4. Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison, in order that I may make clear in the way I ought to speak. Having these conversations, going to Casper and while in Casper and commuting back home again, I began to focus on a couple different aspects of these four verses, one of which I'd like to share with you today. And it comes from four simple words, the first four in the passage: devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. In many different circumstances I have faced in life, I've said, man, if I only knew what I needed to do, I would do it. Have you ever said that? If I just knew what the right thing was to do in this situation, I would do that thing. And so now as I approach this passage, what I understand from this phrase is that God is telling me something He wants me to do. Now, would any of us disagree it would be wrong to do what God wants you to do? So we know that these four words then, devote yourself to prayer, tells us something that God wants us to do. Consider the Greek term devote. It is a strong Greek term that means to be earnest, strong, and steadfast. It means to be tenacious and consistent. One thing we are to be in prayer is tenacious and consistent in our prayer life. God calls us, God wants us to be a people of personal prayer, not just a people of rote words in a public ceremony, but people of personal relationship and dialogue with Him. When we examine the verb devote, as it relates to devote yourself to prayer, it parses out as a present tense, active voice, imperative mood, second person, plural verb. Now that's a mouthful, isn't it? By understanding, though, the parsing of this verb devote, we will understand better the importance God places on prayer as part of our walk with Him. So let's discuss the grammar facts associated with this term for a moment. Present tense verb. As used in this context, the present tense emphasizes that prayer should be a habitual part of our walk with God. Greek grammarians would refer to this verb form as a characteristic present tense. Now, what that simply means is that the characteristic present tense indicates that we are to be devoted to prayer in a habitual way, in a regular way of habit in our lives, that we would be people of prayer. Our lives should be characterized with an ongoing and regular dialogue with the Lord. Habitual and regular prayer will help us align. I want that term align to come back to you time and time again. Habitual, regular prayer will help us align our lives with the will of God. And that's an important place where we can align our will with the will of God. Therefore, prayer is not some watered-down legalistic act of religious performance on a Sunday said before a special event, or even an insincerely offered prayer before a meal. Prayer is an important element of our personal relationship with God. Remember, Jesus condemned prayer used for religious show. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, it says, "When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their full reward. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Now, this verse really isn't a condemnation of public prayer, but it's a condemnation of public prayer as a showboat kind of event to promote one's own self or righteousness before the people. And if our prayer is that which is to be a showboat kind of experience, to promote a self-righteousness to people, then God says, you have your reward already. I don't hear that stuff. I don't hear the pride. I don't hear the egotistical way in which you approach me. When pride invades our prayer life, we are no longer talking to God, but we are talking to ourselves. Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14, give us an example of what a self-righteous prayer might look like. It says in verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. And as I reviewed this verse this morning before stepping in the pulpit, another thought came to my mind. I read that phrase, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Have you ever had those times in your life when you had difficulty lifting your eyes to heaven? Because you know that the things that you had done were a transgression to the holiness of your God. And that you had difficulty looking God in the eye as you brought your confession to him. And all you could say is, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And in your mind and in your heart, you wondered, how could God ever forgive such a stain? But the promise of God is this. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. In short, you know what those words mean? Forgiven by the grace and the mercy and the love of God. And so, in those dark moments when Satan begins to beat you over the head with those past issues, and you find difficulty looking up at God in the eye, can you not claim this promise? I tell you this, this man went to his house justified. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. God calls us to be heart-focused on him in our prayers. Prayer is about personal relationship with God and our desire to embrace him and his will. God desires for us to lift up holy hands, worshipful hearts, and surrendered spirits, and godly minds to him. 1 Timothy 2:8 says this, therefore, I want men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. And I hope that's what we were able to do today, that prayer is more than the bowing of our head and the closing of our eyes and saying, dear Heavenly Father, and in Jesus' name. But prayer is the worship songs that we sang today. Prayer is the expression of our heart to God in that dynamic relationship with him where we are exalting him through the words that we sing and giving it to him as adoration and praise for all that he has done. Church, it is not a legalistic event of prayer that makes a difference. It is the personal relationship with God, the dialogue with God that makes prayer a valuable and life-changing event. Okay, so the present tense, characteristic, habitual, regular part of our life. Active voice for devote. Devote is an active voice verb, and it places the emphasis on a person's personal participation or involvement in the act of prayer. In this active voice verb, Christ followers are instructed to be involved in the act of prayer. Prayer is not a New Age relaxation technique. Although you may feel more relaxed when you have touched God with your prayers and God has touched you and your life and how He has responded to your prayers, you may feel more relaxed, but prayer is not designed to be a relaxation technique. Certainly, a fruit of our intimacy with God through prayer can lead to us feeling more relaxed in a situation because we know His love goes before us. We know that His grace and mercy stands beside us, and we know that His wisdom guides us. So in that way, we might be able to take a deep breath and find our comfort in Him. But relaxation or other incredibly awesome feelings and emotions resulting from prayer come not from the mechanics of prayer, that as a result of our deepening relationship with God through prayer, as we give our allegiance to Him and we align ourselves with His will. Devoting ourselves to prayer as an active voice verb indicates, get this, do I have your attention here? It indicates that we can initiate a conversation with God anytime we want to. Amen. Any place that we're at. By an active voice verb, we can initiate a conversation with God anytime, anywhere, for any reason. Whew, how special is that? That the God of the universe invites us to that place of having a conversation with Him anytime, anywhere, for any reason. Now, I realize there are times when God on many occasions will reach out to us when we least expect it. We're just going along our way and boom, God hits us with a thought and He begins to speak to our heart and He's the initiator of the conversation. God grabs our attention at an unusual time or an unplanned place to show us something about Himself or to speak to our hearts about some matter. However, it's important for us to know that we have an opportunity to initiate dialogue with God. Isn't that awesome? Driving a car, laying down on bed at night, in the midst of a difficulty, in a time of joy, on a deathbed, in a crisis, during a time of blessing, all I got to say is, "Hey, Lord," and the dialogue is open. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need." In my mind, what that looks like, the conversation goes like that. I say, "Hey, Lord," and the Lord says, "Yes, Kent." And the dialogue is open. The conversation has begun. You remember in the Old Testament story of Queen Esther, who, when she approached the king without having been summoned there, there was a chance that the king, if he didn't hold out the golden scepter to her, that she could be killed, that she could be done away with. You can see that in Esther 4:11. Well, notice this. Our God and King has summoned us to appear before His throne of grace anytime, for any reason, anywhere. Our God permanently holds out His golden scepter to us. How can we not love a God like that? See, Matthew 11:28 says this, comes from the King Himself, King Jesus. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heaven laden, and I will give you rest." We are invited, we are encouraged by Jesus to come to Him in our time of need. And so to me, the conversation goes something like this. I say, "Hey, Lord." He says, "Yes, Kent." And the dialogue
is open, meaning God.
Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 say, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So again, invitation to prayer. Conversation goes something like this. I say, "Hey, God." And God says, "Yes, Kent." And the dialogue is open. Active voice. We have the invitation. The golden scepter is held out to us to come to the King of the universe anytime, anywhere, for any reason. That's pretty awesome. Third, the imperative mood of this verb. Now, the imperative verb form is sometimes one that rubs our sin nature the wrong way. Why? Because an imperative mood is a verb of command. In other words, the imperative mood verb reports that what it is that we are being told to do, that it's imperative that we do it, that we become participants, performers of the action that is associated with the verb. In this case, devote yourselves to prayer. And so we are to be commanded to be active in prayer. The idea of devote yourself to prayer is to engage in that personal dialogue. Personal conversation with the Lord is more than a holy suggestion here. It is more than a spiritual recommendation that we are getting here. But devote yourself to prayer is a commandment that we receive from the Lord. Now, before you get all shaken up about the fact that God would command us to talk to Him, ask yourself this. Why would an all-knowing God who created us, who loves us, who sent His Son to die for us, command us to do something? Wouldn't it be because this God who knows everything about us and loves us so much would only command us to do something that is good for us and will help us be better kingdom builders on His behalf? Prayer, therefore, is beneficial and a helpful act in our life if done in a humble manner and if we are offering our surrendered will to Him. You know what it does? It helps us align ourselves with God's will and His purposes. Therefore, praying is not a religious duty of jumping through spiritual hoops in order to earn favor with God. Prayer is a personal relationship builder with God. Going back to Matthew 6, verses 7 and 8, we read, "And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you have need before you ask." So let me close with this, and then I'm going to just open the floor to see if God has spoken to your heart in some manner, or maybe there's a prayer that God answered in your life that you'd like to say, "Hey, God's shown Himself to me," or a way that God has changed you through prayer. We'll just open the floor for a couple minutes of testimony. But as I thought about these things that I've shared with you here today, it took me back to a song that we sang last week. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light my way for my ever wandering heart? Church, those of us who know the Lord God, Elohim, Jehovah, Adonai, do you realize that Elohim, Jehovah, Adonai is permanently holding out His golden scepter to you? To you. Because He loves you. And because you're His child. There's more to be said from these verses in this subject, but I step aside with this closing. Prayer is a dialogue with God, not a religious hoop we jump through.
or a spiritual duty that we perform to earn the favor of God. Prayer is about our personal relationship with God. It's a time when we spend time together with the Lord, a close friend. And you know what? I think the Lord laughs with us, maybe laughs at us a little bit during some of those times. Prayer is us entering into the presence of the King who always extends his golden scepter to us 24/7, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing, and for any reason. And prayer is a place where God helps me to align my life with his will. It's a place where my attitude and my heart are often changed to conform to God's will in a circumstance or situation. And prayer reminds me of God's presence as being my shield, my strength, my comfort, and my hope. Well, you've probably guessed that God's Spirit only surfaces this subject in my life because he wanted me to make an adjustment in my thinking and in my behavior. And this week, I felt the Spirit of God saying, slow down. Don't let the doing of things for me take the place of spending time with me. And it's a danger we all face in this busy world. So I have been challenged to make sure God is getting more than my occasional attention, but God is getting my undivided attention. Prayer is not a duty I perform. Prayer is the means to a dialogue with the God I love and the God who loves me. Prayer changes things. And oftentimes, the thing that prayer changes the most is me. It's me. So how about you? What has your experience have been? What are you challenged with from today's message? Is there something you picked up in the passage that as I sent it out earlier in the week, you had opportunity to look it over? Is there something you want to share about God in regard to his work in your life? I'll just open the floor at this time. We all needed the message that badly.